This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've tuned us in. Now again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program if you would like to contact me. My weekly meditation is found on the website, and this program is posted on the website and can be re-listened to there, and it can be downloaded there. So if you would like to have those addresses, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Now today we've come to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read a passage starting at verse 11 that is very dear to my heart. It has to do with 10 lepers being cleansed, but only one of them returning to give the Lord thanks. So I want to read from verse 11. Now it happened, Luke 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And if I were to give a title to my program today, it would be this question, But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? So I take it that the other 9 were not foreigners, but that they were Jews. Luke 17, verse 19 says, And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Where are the 9? We have just passed Independence Day, and we're thankful that we are liberated from English tyranny. However, it is better to be liberated spiritually from the tyranny of Satan and sin. In our story today, a man was liberated from the oppression of a dreaded disease that made him a social outcast, and he was also liberated spiritually. I personally am not sure that the 9 enjoyed the spiritual blessings of the man who was a Samaritan. Have you noticed now, as we've been reading through the Gospels, how the Samaritans and other non-Jews tend to be blessed before the Jews are? Today our country has a lot of religion, but I wonder how many have really understood that they are only sinners saved by grace. As we look at this passage, the Old Testament has a lot to say about leprosy. It may not have been leprosy just as we know it, but it was a disease that was communicable. That is, it could be caught and spread from one to another. There were regulations in the Old Testament as to how to identify this disease, and there were regulations as to how to make sure that the disease had either run its course or that the person was cleansed from the disease. There were even regulations with regard to homes that seemed to have this disease, which must have been some kind of a mold or mildew. But the point was, this disease would spread, and it was catching, and it would, oftentimes it could be hidden for a time, but it could become very visible as well. Miriam, for example, the sister of Moses and Aaron, when she complained about Moses' leadership, she became leprous in such a way that everybody saw it. It apparently completely covered her. But nevertheless, as we look at leprosy, most agree that leprosy in the Old Testament is a picture of sin and how it basically runs its course by completely taking over the body. And we're all sinners. Some of us have just a little spot of leprosy on us, and we tend to try to hide it. Others are completely leprous, and it's obvious. In other words, some have the kind of leprosy which we would call the moral sins of life, where we gossip and we complain and we perhaps are proud, but we do the acceptable things in life. And others have the kind of leprosy which really the world despises. We might find that perhaps the leprosy is exhibited through murder or thievery or lying, these kinds of immoral things, sexual immorality. So, but the point is that leprosy does speak of sin, and we're in a sense, we're all afflicted by it. Now, that's not true with the original disease. The original disease did not afflict everybody. And the reason that people were isolated when they had the disease was so others would not be afflicted by it. And while there might not be a complete parallel between leprosy and the sin that we are so easily afflicted by, we can see that it is important to be careful about our associations, because those people that are involved in sin have a tendency to involve others in their sins. You don't find people usually wanting to drink by themselves or party by themselves. They want other people to drink with them and to party with them. And if they are doing things that are bad for the body and bad for society, then the people that perhaps would have stayed innocent get involved in those things and sometimes become involved in habitual kinds of behavior that are bad for them and which are sin, including the habitual behavior of drugs. So as we look at this, the leprosy was something that the Jewish people were very careful about isolating. And a person who had leprosy and who had been pronounced unclean by a priest, the priest became the doctor in that society, they had to put their finger on their lips. And whenever they were close to someone, they had to cry, unclean, unclean, so that in essence, they were in isolation from society. Now, as we look at the story for today, the Lord was traveling from traveling from Jerusalem, apparently up into Galilee, and so he had to go through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. That is the northern provinces. Samaria was between Judea and Galilee. And when he entered a certain village, there met him men who were lepers. Now, they stood afar off, which meant that they should have been outside the village according to Jewish law. I don't know why the Samaritan was following Jewish law, but I suspect it's because the Samaritans followed a type of worship that was patterned after the worship of the Jews. And likely when it came to this issue of leprosy, they had the same regulations that the Jews had, and I'm guessing that the Samaritan was following those regulations for the same reason that the Jews were following them, although his priest might have been a different priest than the Jewish priest. On the other hand, the Samaritan could have been a Jewish convert. We really don't know his particular status. It's just that, as far as the Lord was concerned, he was an outsider, he was a foreigner, he was not a Jew. So anyway, he met them outside of the city, apparently. They stood afar off, and so I take it they were outside the city. And they cried to the Lord, not getting too close, that he would cleanse them. Now, it's interesting that when we would touch a leper, the leper would give his disease to us. He would cause us to be unclean. But if the Lord were to have touched a leper, the leper would have been cleansed. He would not have been contaminated by the leprosy. In this case, he did not touch the lepers. He just simply tested their faith. And he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. Now, for those men, those 10 men to go and show themselves to the priest required some faith, because it was as they went that they were cleansed. They weren't cleansed when they started on their way to the priest. But on the way, they were cleansed, and it was obvious that they were cleansed, and all 10 were cleansed. And so the Lord just asked them to do what a cleansed person should do, but he asked them to do it before they were cleansed, and on the way, they were cleansed. I see faith on the part of all 10 of them, a sort of faith on the part of all 10 of them, in order that they did this, although they were probably at an end of themselves with regard to this disease, and were willing to try almost anything in order that they might be cleansed and be made a part of society again. But while they went, they were all cleansed, and there was one of them who returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and we find out that he was a Samaritan. In other words, returned, give the Lord thanks. And that's the thing that I've been thinking about today. I talk to so many people today who claim to be Christians. When I ask them what their assurance of heaven is, it doesn't seem to me that they're thankful for the Lord and his death at the cross. I hear them being thankful for their own good works, their own morality, for their desire to change the world and to make the world a better place to live. And I hear very little about their own sin and about the fact that Christ died for sinners. Now, I like it when people, in a simple way, are able to tell me, I came to this point where I realized as a sinner I could not save myself, and I just trusted in the Lord Jesus who said that he died for my sins. Romans 5 and 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I'm the ungodly one. Christ died for me, and I thank God that I have been able to trust in that truth and that I am cleansed. God says I'm saved. I've trusted him, and I know by faith I'm saved." That's what I like to hear. I like to hear about people who are telling me about what Christ has done for them and are thankful for what Christ has done for them, rather than telling me about what they are doing for Christ and seemingly indicating that the Lord should be thankful to them for what they are doing for him. Most people, when you ask them whether they'll be in heaven or not, they seem to think that their good works ought to give them a good chance for being in heaven. And they forget that we're all afflicted by this monster called sin. We've all got a problem with rebellion against God and wanting to tell God how to do his work rather than letting him tell us. If these men had not by faith been willing to take off and go toward the priest, they would never have been cleansed, because the Lord had told them, "Go show thyself to the priest." What does he tell us? He's very simple when he talks to us. He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that's what we have to do. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And our instructions are very simple, and it's just simply to accept the work that Christ has done for us at the cross. And so this Samaritan, this man who did not deserve to be saved, this man who represents a sinner not only by his leprosy, a practical sin that came on him after he was born, but who was an outsider from the standpoint of the blessings of the Jewish people, this man, he returned to glorify God. And I think that he would understand the truth that we're just sinners, saved by grace. And so the Lord says to him, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And today when we talk about worshiping God, it seems like everybody's concerned with what pleases them. But true worship is thanking God for what he has done for us and pleasing God, not pleasing ourselves, but it's pleasing God. And I wonder how many of us listening to my voice today have breathed a thank you to the Lord for what he has done for them. We should do that when we're saved, when we're first saved. We should do that daily, and we should constantly be living in a state of awe when we think that we are sinners by nature like a Samaritan, sinners practically like a leper, and yet Christ died for sinners, and we can return to give him thanks. I believe the Samaritan understood that Christ had been more than a physical healer, but I think his faith made him well, and he was spiritually healed as well. I think he was saved that day. I wonder if the others were. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We commit ourselves into your care. Pray for your blessing in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.